You have your Bible, you can turn to Psalms. Psalms 103. This is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. And God just really started ministering to me through this, and I hope it blesses you today. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and he is gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has dealt with us according to He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Hallelujah. I was just going to read a few verses from that, but the whole thing is so powerful. And what God was really speaking to me through this, through Psalm 103, let me start back at the beginning one more time. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. I love this for so many reasons. David is commanding his soul to bless God. He is commanding his soul to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because he's gone through hell and back. This is not like young David in the field hanging out with the sheep and the, you know, and singing songs. This is an older David who has gone through some life. He has been through the ups and the downs of life. He's been through some trials. And now he is coming to the Father and he's saying, I will bless you. I am going to worship you. I'm going to command myself to worship you no matter what's going on around me. You know, and he had some mountaintop experiences. Can you say amen? He had some valleys. He had some valleys, mountaintops, you know. I can just think about it, like Samuel finding little David, passing by all of his brothers, anointing David to be king. That was a mountaintop experience. It's like all of his brothers are like, what? Like, are you for real? Like, I've been working out. Like, I'm the firstborn. He had a mountaintop experience. The Lord saw him when he was a nobody, nothing, going nowhere. The Lord saw him. The Lord had his number. And the Lord anointed him. And Samuel placed his hands upon his life. And his life was forever changed in that moment when somebody saw what was inside of him by the Spirit of the Lord. Obviously, you know, another mountaintop experience is... The famous story, David and Goliath, you know, we love that story. We've read it in, you know, I was reading it the other night in Tajia in her little kid's Bible. And all the other everybody else in the army was scared stiff of this giant. And he comes onto the field because he has a word of the Lord, and he slays the giant, and now all of a sudden he's a hero. He goes from a nobody to being a hero like that. That's a mountaintop experience. Like, come on. You know, he had quite a few. Obviously, when he was made the actual king, that's a mountaintop. But David had a lot of valley experiences in his life. It wasn't just one big amen. It was a lot of oh no's. He actually was in the valley of oh no, right? Don't hang out in the valley of oh no too long. But he had some hard times in his life. What about when his own king wanted him dead? The king that he served, the king that he loved, the king that he worshipped for, and Saul got delivered. His own king wanted him dead. He was chasing him around the country. And it's like, that's messed up. not a great moment for David. What about when his village was burned down? His family was kidnapped. And then his men turn on him. The ones that he gave his everything for, the ones that he would sweat and bleed and die for. Now they turn on him and they say, "This is your fault. Let's just kill David. It's all your fault." And so it's like, can a day get any worse? You know, your family just got kidnapped. Your village is burned. You don't even have a place to lay your head. Like, everything's gone. And now your own men, the ones that you've done life with, the ones that you've ran with, you fought next to shoulder, now they want you dead. And I love David's response in the midst of a hard situation, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of the lowest valley. It says he turns and he strengthens himself in the Lord. I would have turned and grabbed a rock and, I'm out of here. But he turned and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And I just think this is something that marks David's life in every season of his life. And that's why he can say in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me." No matter what season I'm in, no matter if I'm on a mountaintop or I'm in a valley, I am going to turn and I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord by faith. I'm going to praise Him and worship Him and give Him glory and honor. Not because of my situation, not because of my circumstance, not because I got $1 million in the bank account, but because He's good.
Amen.
Amen? It's like, and then it goes on. There's even more stuff. Bathsheba, hello. That wasn't a high moment for David. He had a man killed. What about toward the end of his life when his own son rises up against him? There was a lot of heartache and there was a lot of valleys in David's life. But I think God just loved David's heart so much. You know, I love reading about David's life. It's like, it was like 3 or 4 generations after David had already been gone. And God's about to judge David's descendants. He's just so sick of their idolatry. He's so sick of all the stuff they're doing. He's just like, "I'm going to just destroy you." But I love the comment. He says, But because of David, I will spare you. Like, that just like so ministers to me. Every time I read that, it's like, what I'm doing now is going to affect future generations. The way I live my life now is going to affect my great-great-grandchildren. And so am I living for God? I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes, but is my heart pure and clean before the Almighty God? I love this about David's life. And David, he had a heart of gold. He made mistakes. But I think this was the key of David. He always knew where to go. He knew to turn back to the Father and just to strengthen himself in the Lord, to bless and magnify the Lord, even when he had to do it by faith. Sometimes you got to do stuff by faith. All the time you got to do it by faith. But sometimes you have to do stuff without a feeling. Amen? Just raw faith. And then God will break into your situation because faith pleases God. And so I love this. I love this. After all of David's life, after he's an older man now, and he says, I command my soul to bless the Lord. And you know, I love, I don't know about you, but I love like just listening to people that have walked with the Lord for a long time. I love listening to sermons from people that have just been through the battle and didn't get bitter. And then they open the Word of God, or they begin to share their heart. They open their heart, and it's like this sweet-smelling aroma. And you hear this love story. You hear this testimony come forth, and it's just so beautiful. I love that. You know, there's so many I can think of, but just people that have gone through hard situations. Maybe they lost a child. Maybe just horrible things happened to them. But instead of growing bitter, instead of getting angry, they still, like, you have that coffee with them, and they open up their heart and they say, But the Lord. But God is good. God is faithful. He has seen me through everything. You know, it's like the world expects us to be bitter. The world expects us to get angry when life throws us a curveball. And I think it's such a testimony. It's so amazing. It's that amazing grace when we can stand in the midst of that and not be like, I'm pissed. I'm angry. I'm upset. But just be like, I don't understand everything, but you are good. You are faithful. You are merciful. You are awesome. You're still. And I love that after all of David's been through, this is his declaration. Check it out. He forgives all your sin, and he heals all your disease. He's been through heartache. He lost a baby. He lost a baby that he's seen so much heartache. He's seen so many valleys, but yet he still believes. And this is the Old Testament. This is before Jesus was crucified. So how much greater now? But David, he still believes. After all the valleys, he still believes. God forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. Come on. David is letting us into his heart. He's opening up the chambers of his heart right now. He's lived a long life, and now he's saying, but this is the theme. This is what you're going to see. If you cut me down the middle, this is who I am my whole life. I've made mistakes, but God is still good. I'm going to magnify him whatever season I'm in. He forgives all sin. He heals all sickness. Come on. That is so good. Thank you, Father, who redeems your life from destruction as he redeemed your life from destruction. I know he's redeemed my life from destruction. He really has. And sometimes it's like, sometimes you just got to visit that moment again. I was at the jail last Thursday ministering to the guys down there, and it's like, it's always a different group of guys. I always come in with like a message, but then it's always like a new group of guys. And so I'm like, well, I have to share some of my testimony since it's a new group of guys. And every time I share my testimony, I just walk out of the jail just saying, Father, you're so good. Thank you. Thank you, God. Like, you redeemed me. You plucked me out of darkness. I was going nowhere. I was just making a mess of my life. I had so much brokenness and bitterness and anger and frustration, and you plucked me out of that. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Sometimes we got to revisit that moment, and just, it's like, it's so easy to get caught up in everything that is wrong right now. This is not going right for me. This isn't going right. I don't have enough money to pay this. I don't have this. But it's just like, just revisit that moment where God became so real to you that nothing else mattered. Where he invaded your situation, where there was so much, like, I was depressed. I said yes to Jesus, and all of a sudden I had joy. I was so full of anxiety and addiction, and I said yes to Jesus, and all of a sudden I was free. I was free. I was so full of peace. Come on. We got to revisit that time. Because he's our Savior. He's not, we don't serve a golden image that does nothing to us, for us. We serve a mighty living Savior. Hallelujah. Who redeems our life from destruction. That's the theme of my life. He's redeemed me. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and this is so good. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I was looking at that. I was reading that, and for a moment, I remember I've read this a million times, and I just read right over it. Hey, he renews your youth like the eagles. That's cool. I'm like an eagle. Praise the Lord. But there's always more in the scriptures. If you'll just dig a little bit deeper, if you'll do a little research, you'll realize what David was truly talking about here. And it's interesting because God makes reference to eagles several times in the Word of God. What is he talking about? Why would David, at his older age, say he renews your youth like an eagle? Well, I think, and to understand that, maybe some of you already know all this, but it's a good reminder. But you got to look at the life of an eagle. A real eagle. Not the Philadelphia Eagles. That's depressing. But a real eagle, they're majestic, they're powerful, they take flight. They're such amazing birds. They have so much authority. Have you ever seen an eagle in flight? I mean, they're beautiful, they're powerful. They dive into the ocean to grab their prey. They can spot snakes slithering on the ground, and they see them and they take them out. Like is there any, why do you think God calls us like eagles? We're supposed to be ones that fly and soar and have authority over the enemy and authority over the creeping and crawling things, and can see when they're about to ruin a church or ruin a marriage or ruin somebody's life. We can see that and we can take authority over that, and we can pluck it out and eat it. But they're powerful. They're so beautiful. They're so powerful. And eagles, if in the first part of their life, they'll live about 30 to 40 years. And they're the king, the top of the food chain in their sphere. And they're taking out other animals. They're flying higher than every bird. They're just amazing. But then around 30 or 40 years, there's this thing that begins to happen to them. It's called the molting process. And they begin to lose their feathers. They begin to lose, over the course of 30, 40 years, their beak has chipped. Their talons are not as strong as they once were. And so they begin, and they cannot hunt effectively anymore. And so they fly to a certain place in the mountains, some cliffs or some rocks, and they find a safe place where there's other birds that are going through the same thing. They find a safe haven where they can all be together. And then they begin to allow this process to take place. And all of their feathers begin to fall out. Their talons completely come off and fall out. Their beak falls off. And now they're walking around, and they're this once majestic, powerful, amazing bird. Now looks like a turkey. I mean, like, he wasn't getting any dates during that 5 months. All the other lady eagles are flying by. He's like, I promise, I'm an eagle. Well, you look like a turkey. He ain't flying, so I ain't going near you. And they do. I mean, if you can go on YouTube, but they literally look like turkeys. Like, they do not, they looked like this beautiful, majestic bird, and now all of a sudden they are falling apart. And some very interesting things happen during this process. So first they crawl over to a rock. They'll crawl over to a rock that is facing the sun. They'll get on top of the rock, and they'll lay on the rock, and they'll just bathe in the sun. That's pretty powerful right there. Sometimes when you don't know what to do, when you're going through a hard time, just get on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. Just stand on the rock. If you got to crawl over to the rock, then crawl over to the rock. Just get on the rock and just lay there and look into the eyes of the Son of God. Just allow the Son of God to bring refreshing, to bring restoration, to bring whatever you need. He'll fill you. He'll refresh your soul. Amen. And so these birds are laying there, but they're still going through this process. They begin to lose the calcium in their bodies, and now they're no longer able to even lift their heads up. It's like a death process. And so the bird that once could see everything, the bird that had authority over everything, the bird that could fly high, is now, he can't even see. He can't even look at the sky. He looks down because there's no calcium left in his body and he can't lift his head up. This is crazy. And then something beautiful happens around this time. There's other eagles. There's the young ones that are in that first 30, 40 years. And then there are eagles that have gone through this process already. And the ones that have gone through this process have mercy. They have sympathy for their friends. And so they begin to dive into the ocean. They begin to get squirrels, chipmunks, whatever. And they begin to fly overhead and they begin to drop fresh food. Because they only eat fresh food. They're not going to eat something that's been dead for a week. Eagles eat fresh food. And so these eagles, they'll fly overhead and they'll drop fresh food and then they let out a cry. They let out this cry, almost saying like, we're here. You're not alone. You got this. You're going to make it. We are with you. You can do this. And they drop this fresh food and the eagles are just laying there on a rock and they begin to nibble at some of the food. But some of them, and it's about a 5 to 6 month process. And some of them give up in this process. Some of them just lose heart. They're thinking, I'm not who I once was. I'm never going to fly again. I'm never going to be who I was. Everything, all my dreams are gone. My purpose is gone. My vision is gone. I can't even lift my head. And so some of them, they just give up and die. They give up. They just lay there and they die. But then half of the eagles, they begin to nibble on that food that their friends brought for them. They begin to get strength in their bodies. After a certain time passes, all of a sudden they begin to get some new feathers. Their talons begin to grow back. Their beak begins to grow back. It's like a rebirth experience. And all of a sudden, after 5 to 6 months, these birds that have gone through the worst season of their life, the most horrendous valley of their life, rise up. And they begin to take flight. And they are stronger, and they are more powerful, and they have more wisdom than they ever had the first 30 years. And now they are able, because of everything they went through, and because they allowed the death process and the molting process to take place, they are able to live another 40 years. 40 years. And the last 40 years is greater than the first 40 years. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord put this in my heart as just a prophetic message to speak over the house today. I believe there are people, you feel like you are in a valley. You feel like you are in a season of death where you have been saying, where is my vision? Where is the person that I once was? I once was able to fly. I once was able to dream. I once had a goal. I had a vision. I had a purpose for my life. And now I feel like I'm dying. Now I feel like I'm just laying on a rock and I don't have any vision for my life. I don't have vision for my family. I feel like this is a word for you. And if you will not lose heart, but if you will put to practice everything that David did when in the hard times, what did he do? He turned and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He turned to the Lord. He turned his attention, his affection to Almighty God and just said, I don't understand this. But you are faithful and I'm going to worship and praise you. If we can do this, if we can have this kind of heart and attitude, I guarantee you, you will come through this stronger, more powerful than you ever were in your whole life. And you're going to have more grace and more mercy for all those around you. I believe there are two different groups in the room. I believe there are those that are going through this particular season, a molting process, if you want to call it, or a valley season, a death season. And I would encourage you to not lose heart. I would encourage you to not give up. I would encourage you to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And it is in those times where you have to have that raw faith. And you just, it's like, I don't want to. I don't even want, you know, have you ever been there? You're like, you know you need to read your Bible, but you're like, I don't want to. I don't want to read my Bible. You know you need to pray, and you know there's going to be answers when you pray, but you're like, I just don't want to pray. I'm just going to watch TV. But sometimes we just have to push past the feelings, because feelings can, they can be very negative sometimes. If we just live by our feelings, we're going to end up in a lot of trouble. But we live by faith. And so we need to, by faith, turn our attention, our affection, and everything that we are to God and say, I worship you. I bless the Lord, all my soul. Everything in me, I bless your holy name. Whether I'm on a mountaintop or I'm in a valley, I will bless you. Hallelujah. Now that makes a little bit more sense. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, thank you, Father. Isaiah 40, and this will kind of come to light as well, I pray. Isaiah 40. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and they shall not faint. Hallelujah. I believe this is a message for us today. I believe it's a message for this house, and there are some that you feel like you've been in that valley, and I just encourage you to not lose heart. There's two things that are going to happen. Number one, I believe you need to bless the Lord. You need to get it in the Word of God. By faith, you need to pray, and then realize, too, that help is coming. Help is coming. Nourishment is coming. And that's where I think the second half, I believe there's some of us in the room, you've been through death process. You've been through the molting process. And it's time for you to keep your eyes open and your ears open to those that are in pain, to those that feel like they're just dying. And you need to fly overhead and you need to give them a little bit of nourishment. You need to give them a little bit of love. You need to give them a little bit of compassion. You need to give them a cup of coffee. Sometimes the greatest... I'll tell you, when I was in a season of... I've been in many seasons. I've been in many molting seasons. I wish there was only one, but I've been in too many molting seasons in my life. But, you know, one of those obviously is when we were walking through everything with Gia. And it was such a hard season of my life. And praise God, she's healthy. She's whole. She's healed. But it's like when you're in the middle of that, it's just hard. It's hard. And I remember just... people, there was many people that blessed me so much, but I remember one time one of my friends came. He lived in L.A., and they just brought us some food, and he bought me a cup of coffee, and he just gave me a hug. He didn't have to say anything. He just hugged me. He knew what I was going through. It's just like he hugged me. He embraced me. He bought us some food, and he got me my favorite kind of coffee. And like at that moment, he was Jesus to me. In that moment, like, I said, man, like, somebody sees me. Somebody sees the pain I'm going through. Somebody sees that I'm hurting. I can't leave the hospital right now. I don't want to leave my child. And somebody sees me, and they took their time, and they flew overhead and gave me a little bit of nourishment. You know, sometimes we just need to open up our ears and open up our spiritual eyes to those that are around us that are suffering, that are sick, that are hurting, that are dying, and give them a little help. Give them a little food. And sometimes that food is right here. This is the bread of life. This is the word. Eat it and you will live. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Come forth. Get a word of the Lord for somebody. And come into their situation. Hey, God spoke this to me. Maybe you think I'm crazy, but God gave me a word for you. God gave me this message for you, and I believe this is for you. And it's like it's in those times when you could just boldly step out of your comfort zone. It's like, I feel really uncomfortable right now doing this. This is a person I don't even know if they're saved, but I just need to do this. And more times than not, you know, occasionally they'll be like, you're weird. Or every once in a while, like one out of 10 times maybe. But the other nine times, they're just like, thank you so much. Like, I needed this right now. That was just right on point. You know, and so I just would encourage you to keep your hearts tender, keep your ears open, your eyes open to those around you. And sometimes it's not even, they're not even people that are far away. It's not even a person at a coffee shop. Could be somebody right in your family. Could be somebody that you share a bed with. Sometimes we miss the cry of the people that are right next to us. We don't open our eyes and we miss the people that are right next to us. We miss them. You know, we miss that they are dying. We miss that they're going through hell and we just get so busy with life. And here's a person crying, crying to be seen, crying to be heard. Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand and to perceive. Holy Spirit, I pray you would move in this room right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're here. I thank you, God, that you come and bring life. Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life. There is liberty. There is victory. There is freedom. And there is joy. I pray, Holy Spirit, all those that are feeling oppressed, depressed, possessed, whatever, or just in a valley season of their life and just going through a hard time, going through brokenness and hurt, I pray, Holy Spirit, bring refreshing right now. Bring your peace right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for strength to come into bodies right now. I pray for strength and peace and life to come into bodies, to come into situations. I pray for renewed passion and vision to come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. I just declare over every single person in this room for fresh vision. Vision for your family. Vision for your destiny, vision for all that the Lord has put in your hands. That you are no longer going to say, well, I was once this way. I was once this strong person that had passion and vision and all this stuff. I was a mover and a shaker, but now I just don't even know who I am. That is no longer your story. That is no longer your testimony. The fresh vision is coming back into your heart. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus, and you are going to stand up with your head held high, a strong backbone, and you are going to fly, you are going to soar in the mighty name of Jesus. I just declare that over every single person in this house. And for those that feel like you have already gone through these types of processes, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would soften our hearts. I pray that you would help us to see and to hear all those that are around us. Help us to see and hear those in this church. Help us to see and to hear all those in the community and all those in the family. I just release that over you, the ability to see past the mask in the name of Jesus. So many times in the church we walk around with a happy face. We've got a little happy meal on. But inside we're broken, inside we're crying, inside we're desperate for an answer. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, give all of us the ability to see past the mask and to begin to speak prophetically into people's lives, to bring the word of the Lord, to bring some nourishment and some encouragement and some love and some laughter and some life. Yeah. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're with us. You're brooding over this church, Father God. You're doing a new work in our lives and in our communities. And I just thank you, God, that we are the church, and we choose to worship you, to bless the Lord at all times, and all that is within us, we will bless your holy name. And Lord, we will keep our eyes open and our ears open to the afflicted, to the hurting, and to the oppressed, because this is the gospel. The gospel is not just huddling up and just being in a corner of a church and just praying and just doing our own thing. The gospel is going to the broken and the hurting and the afflicted and the abused, to the widows and the orphans. And so, God, I just pray that you would implant in us the gospel, Father, that we would get alive and hungry for the gospel once again, to touch the world with your love, with your joy, with your peace. Hallelujah. And I just felt like somebody in the audience here is just saying, well, I'm not a preacher. I can't do that. I'm not called to preach. That's just your job. No, that's a lie. That's the enemy right there. You can take somebody to the movie. You can take somebody to coffee. You can read a scripture. You can pray. We're all called to pray. And so there's no outs for anybody. Yes, we are not all called to preach. We are not all called to, you know, whatever. But we are all called to make a difference in our sphere of influence the best way that we can. We're all called to love to the best of our ability. Be encouragers. Be lifters. And let's see our family. Let's see the community. Let's see our brothers and sisters that are suffering and in valley seasons. And let's just be lovers. Let's be encouragers. Let's be lifters. Let's provide some nourishment. And so, Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your grace in this house. We thank you for the message, Lord, of Psalm 103. Lord, we thank you that all that you taught David, we pray, Father, that you would teach us these things as well, Father, that it would be solid in our hearts. Lord, that no matter what we're going through, if we're on a mountaintop or if we are in a valley, Father, I just pray that we would learn the vital lesson of turning to you and blessing you at every time, every season, every situation. We give you praise, Father. We worship you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. If you need prayer for anything, come forth and we'll pray for you. I'd love to bless you. And if not, please stick around. We got some yummy, amazing tacos. This is going to be good. I am excited. My stomach's excited. So.